Podcasting 2.0 for September 23rd, 2022, episode 103. Where's Brianna? Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. It is your weekly board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, everything that's happening in the podcast space. What have we got going on with the namespace? Controversy, things to learn, fun stuff, and of course, all of the information and knowledge that flows over at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who knows if you've got music in your feed. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Oh, man. So beautiful here. So nice, like low 70s outside, no humidity. It's just beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. I have to say, I was in Georgia last week, and it was warmer than it is there now today where you are, but it was also really nice. A break from the Texas heat was very welcome.
You got lucky because South Georgia is usually like the surface of the sun. It is right. So hot there.
Right. Now, it was really good. I loved it. And I made it back.
You it sounded like you had a good trip.
It was a really good trip. Particularly all the stories of, this was the Beef Initiative Food Intelligence Summit. And this is a lot of people who are, understanding what it is to live on a diet of pure, grass-fed, grass-finished, most would say, depending on your taste profile, animal protein. And so besides, and really connecting ranchers to a new audience, in this case, Bitcoiners, because Bitcoiners, they're willing to try anything and they got money, basically. I think that was the initial idea. But it turns out they all kind of understand store of value. For the rancher, it's in the cow. The rancher's checking account, if he has one, is a processing plant. There's all these similarities. But ranchers have been, in America, have been systematically pushed towards the commodity business of, look, you just raise it, you ship them off to us, and then we'll chop them up and we'll do whatever. Mainly, ship that over to other countries. So, in America, we're not really even eating our own beef. It's from South America or Australia. But also the health benefits, which is, I don't even know where you stand on that, but it's been quite amazing to see people who have had issues for 20 years start to clear them up in like 2 weeks.
I've followed this. Now, do you know the meat only diet?
The carnivore code. Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I followed this guy years ago.
Whatever his name is.
This is just a dude. And he decided,
oh, that dude. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Just the dude, he decided that he was going to, eat just meat. Only meat. This is before there was a carnivore diet or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he kept this journal. This is probably, 8 or 9 years ago. He kept this journal of what happened to his body, how he felt, all these kinds of things. And he was like, age-wise, he was around 60 or so. And so he was like, I'm just going to do this and see what happens. He was sort of one of those experimenter N of one guys. And so he starts doing it, and he ordered. So there's a place out in Texas called Slankers, which is like a grass fed beef place. Mm-hmm, and they got more than just beef, but it's all grass fed. It's all natural stuff. So he orders their, it's like half and half, like a 1-to-1 ratio of regular beef that was like a ground beef, like 15% fat. Mm-hmm. And then their dog food beef.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, there, it had all the organ meats and everything in it.
Which is now being consumed by people again, interestingly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so he's like, it says not for human consumption, but it's the same stuff as everybody else gets. So, and he ate it raw.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the, oh, there's people do. It. Yeah, yeah. Well, now it's what I heard a lot of these rant, and I'm going to put this clip in the show notes. It's about 3 minutes. It's Texas Slim on the Higher Side chats. And he explains it so well in 3 minutes. It's phenomenal.
Did he name that thing the beef? Food intelligence.
It's all him. It's all him.
Yeah. Because that's a great name.
Oh yeah. No, this guy's a. Listen to a couple just for a little bit of this. This guy is a born. Now he's a rancher.
fourth or fifth generation, West Texas. But he also worked right after college years, which he didn't graduate. He just attended college in Austin. Just
like audited. The rest of us.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. But he just audited, so he has no degree. And he, I think right on the dot-com boom, he was involved in telecom and other things. But he's a rancher at heart. And also a rodeo guy. Here, let me see.
And so you look out, you know, we're going through hyperinflation at this time. Well, you can look at Bitcoin as basically a store of value that will fight hyperinflation. And it's happening right in front of us right now. And people say, well, it's too volatile. No, it's not volatile. It's gone up 100%. It's lifespan for the last 11 years. And then I use the comparison of saying, well, you want to look at volatility. You know, I was in big tech. I was in dot-com boom days. I was younger and I was in innovation at that time. And you don't want to talk volatility. How about Amazon crashing over 80% over 9 times in its history? That's volatile. And you look at a stock like Apple where you couldn't even trade for it. It was against the law in Massachusetts to buy Apple stock. You know, you've looked at the stock market, you look at our financial systems and Bitcoin, a lot of people don't understand it because it gets a bad rap because what they're doing is they're doing a prohibition of really understanding what Bitcoin is because it is a decentralized currency that has a store of value that we've never seen in a digital form. And, you know, you look at my grandfather, he understood what Bitcoin was. He just didn't have it. He understood what a store of value was. And he had that store of value in his land and the cattle itself.
Well, I mean, it goes on. It's really good.
Yeah. If I saw something in the local papers about a thing called the Beef Initiative Food Intelligence Summit, I would go.
You'd go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I would go.
Yeah exactly. It was really good. And it's also, I mean, it's amazing how little people know about their food just in general. So
totally
it's educational, you know, but it all comes down to value and people who understand value and, you know, actually value for value. He kind of borrowed that and adopted that to the Beef Initiative. And in turn, I stole the New International Lifestyle. I'm like, I'm taking that, bitch. That's a good one. I like that. And we've become really good friends and I've met all these incredible ranchers and their story. I mean, it's just, it's phenomenal. You know, some of these people were stockbrokers. Boom, change, you know, 20 years ago, 9/11, boom, done. Go do something else. And then also heal themselves. It's magic, Dave. It's magic. But you know who else is magic? My new hero. My new hero. And I liked him from the get-go the first time he showed up in the group. When we hung out at Podcast Move, we were like, yeah, this guy's cool. He's got a lot going on in his brain. But little did I know that he was such a troublemaker and a man after my own heart. In a very subversive way, John Spurlock is just, he's the shit. John Spurlock has done something so cool. Listening to Podland and God bless Todd from Blueberry and the New Media Show. He is so honest and so open about his feelings and
I love Todd so much.
Oh, yeah. His response to OP3, the Open Podcast Prefix Project, was just beautiful because it showed me the genesis of the podcast industrial complex. It taught me a lot about what they're dealing with or what they've dealt with, how captured it all is. And in a way, it's funny because, and I don't know if you heard the whole show, and I've heard most of it at this point.
Most of it, yeah.
But I want to make it clear that, you know, this is John Spurlock put this together. This is not necessarily podcasting 2.0's direction or vision or we're going to build a stat service or anything like that. But it was that interpretation that really, I'm like, holy crap, I had no idea. That this is.
I loved hearing about.
Oh yeah,
all the history there.
Oh, and the back rooms and the emotions and the months of negotiating, and then at the end of the day, everyone has to pay a $50,000 membership fee to be in the club of the IAB. And by the way, I have no problem with IAB or anything. In case there was ever any confusion, I really don't know enough about it. I understand the concept. Now I know a lot more. Wow, this is great. And that they, and everyone, you can have IAB certified numbers and still have different numbers from podcast host to podcast host. Wow, this is fantastic. Yeah, yeah. All of the white lists, the black lists, amazing what they have gone through in a closed system. Really, that must have been very painful to put that together, and it shows. And I don't know about you, but I got the feeling that even though I don't think it's certainly not my plan, but you know, John Spurlock's plan. I don't know what anyone's plan is. I don't really care. But it felt like, oh, wait a minute, because even Cridland said, well, you know, if they can get some IAB certification, I don't think it was set up with that in mind. You know, this is just a data service that, you know, you can muck around with. And, you know, if you want, I guess you can put together a stats package, you know, or something. Did I misinterpret what this thing is for? It's a platform for development, right? If someone wants to create a stats service, they can do some PRs and put together a stats service. Is that my understanding? Is that correct?
I think, you know, I don't know what's in Spurlock's head. I know why I was excited about it.
Well, tell me why you were excited about it. Where on the doll did it excite you? Can you point that out?
Right in the front.
Right there, huh?
Right there. I don't want the index or podcasting 2.0 or anything like that in the stats business.
No, of course not.
I don't think anybody really wants that. I mean, there's too much. It's too icky. It's icky.
I'm also not really interested in it.
I don't care.
No, exactly.
I did homework, by the way. I did homework and I calculated our VPM.
Oh, thank you. I come up with about 120. What did you come up with?
I came up with 80.
Mm. Okay.
On one, but I think, and I'll tell you my methodology in a minute.
Yeah.
We can compare methodology.
Yes.
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Right in the front, baby.
Right in the front. I trust. I want to say this. Like after listening to Todd, I mean, like I definitely, you know, we know these guys from the hosting companies and I trust their numbers.
Todd 100 years.
I trust their numbers. I would never say that I don't trust the download stats from, you know, Blueberry or Buzzsprout or RSS.
Let me put it this way. I have no distrust of what they're doing.
None.
When it comes to looking at my timeline of when people were listening and streaming sats on the Saturn stat board from Albi, I have 100% confidence in that.
Yes.
There's your difference.
I don't think that any of them are doing anything shady.
No.
Now the IAB, he mentioned, well, you know, I feel like that in the 2.0 realm that there is general distrust of the IAB.
I think total not caring. What is that word?
Not caring. Yeah. Lethargy.
Apathy.
Apathy.
Apathy. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. Apathy. Sure.
Yeah. So there's apathy that should not be misinterpreted as distrust, really. But there is something there. And the something, I think, is what Todd himself talked about, which is he recounted how he was shocked that PodTrack was able to get IAB certification because their numbers were so different from his own. And he knows for a fact that his are solid.
Yeah. And I'm sure they are.
That tells you that there's something. I'm not saying anybody's doing anything shady.
These
guidelines evidently are so loose.
Yeah, let me just put it out there. This is how it felt without anyone saying it. This is just my interpretation. I am 58. I've been around for a bit. And Dave and I have no real dog in the hunt, which is the beautiful part about this project. Doesn't matter one way or the other. You know, we're not making
I didn't even know how many downloads we had until like
exactly
2 days ago.
And I didn't have an idea until you posted a screenshot. I'm going off of a screenshot here. But so the point is, when this showed up, the response felt to me a little bit like, hey, I really love these podcasting 2.0 guys. I really love value for value. But what you doing? What are you doing over there with stats?
Pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes, 2.0 boys. That's what it felt like. So I want to remove that fear because we have no interest in the business of stats or attribution or anything about that. For me, truly, I can see all kinds of interesting reasons for it. But I just want to calculate a VPM. And it doesn't matter what the numbers are. They're the number. That's just my number. And if that means there's bots in there, then that's my number plus bots. But it's still the number. I'm just going to use the same number. And in fact, to prove it that I don't care, this is also an ask at the same time, because if this screws up, it's a big pain in the ass and it hurts me in many ways. I just like to put the next Sunday's episode of No Agenda. I want to put that into the OP3 and see what pops up. I'm interested. It may be 40,000, maybe 400,000, maybe 4 million. I don't know. At the same time,
talk that over with Dvorak first.
I don't care. We don't care. We don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The only thing, it doesn't matter. It's not going to change our income.
Right.
It makes no difference. It would be nice to know. And no matter what it is, if I don't like it, I can say, well, you know, it's not IAB certified. So it's a piece of shit.
Not IAB certified.
Spurlock's a little game over there. It's not for real, man. We can't trust that shit.
You need to put put double asterisks on it. And then down at the bottom of the page, the double asterisk says with bots.
Yeah, I'm very interested in just what it is. I mean, is the system solid enough? Because it could be
Cloudflare. It better be. I mean, like I would imagine so.
Okay.
I would imagine if you throw a million downloads on it, it should be able to handle it, because they handle, 3,000 times that on a regular basis.
But do you have a script where you can go count it for me? Because I don't have any tools.
Yeah, I got some stuff now. Well, I spent some time this week writing some code on that. And that's how I know. That's how I'm able to calculate our VPM. That, so to me, that I
like the fact that we could be a big show that shows some open numbers. That's all it is. Just open numbers. It's like, it's funny you say that. Well, you should talk it over with Dvorak. We give. I'll just tell you the top 24 donations from Thursday's show, ranging from $1,000 to 200 and it's a 200. We read these people's notes. We gave the number, the amount.
Yeah.
And right. So anyone can sit there and calculate what we're making. I'm proud of that. And I'm pretty sure the people who support the show are also proud of it. So I'm very interested to see if my theory, and so we have different numbers. I'd like to know what numbers you were working with. My theory of the VPM, that it holds true, that actually when you have the smallest audience, when you wouldn't even qualify for dynamic ad insertion, you would have a much higher VPM, and you would also actually be making money right away. So I came up with 120 because I think I saw a 1475 number of downloads.
So I recalculated it this morning.
Okay. All right.
We're going to do a rundown here?
Yeah, do a rundown.
All right.
Do a
rundown. All right. Let's run it down.
All right. Let's go. Break it down. Come on, man. Break it down.
This is, by the way, this is all very gross, and I don't like doing any of this stuff.
Because, is fun. This is beautiful. This is a cool exercise.
I don't ever want to do it again. Here's the numbers I worked on. Downloads were 1,514.
Okay.
And let me tell you where this number comes from. Number one, 1,514 downloads per episode. We are unmonetizable with advertising.
Quite unmonetizable. Yes.
So I only counted unique IP hashes for range requests and get requests. And I exclude it. So if somebody did, 27 range requests, from the same IP hash, I just counted it as one.
Okay. All right. So already you're putting in rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the whole point. We can make our own rules.
Our rules can be that we count bots as.
Yeah, exactly.
As extra, as bonus material.
Yes. I don't have to convince any advertiser with these things.
So the downloads, and then I excluded any user agents that were, not a known app. So just known apps with single counts per IP hash, which could be undercounting or overcounting. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
1,514 downloads.
Okay, so you took your 4% from that number.
Of episode 102. No, I went further than this. I dug in deeper.
Sexy.
So then I went flipped over to the boosts side of thing, or to the SAT side.
Boost!
And figured out we had and I only counted episode 102 streams and boosts in SATs. So this does not include streams and boosts that we got for the episode when it was live. This is only meant to match the download numbers.
Check. Got it.
Okay.
This is good. Why was I even wasting my time?
That comes out to 629,798 sats.
Uh-huh.
That includes streams and boosts. Wait,
how much? Say again, how much?
629,798.
Okay.
So then I looked at how many individual donors that represents, because this is all this is in the TLV record. Individual donors, unique donor names, 89. So we had 1,514 downloads. 629,798 sats and 89 individual boost/streamers.
Mm-hmm.
That, if you take that 1,514 downloads as unique listens, which, it's going to be in the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're talking about 89 listeners sending sats back is 6%. So 6% of the people who downloaded the episode
either boosted us or streamed us sats. Okay, so that's higher than the 4%. So already a win over the fiat version.
Yes, yes. Now, if this is my understanding of your VPM calculation. So I went through this. I took the 629,798 sats and divided it by 1,514, which would have been the unique listens.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out to 415.9 sats per download,
mm-hmm.
which would be 415,982 sats per 1,000 downloads. In U.S. dollars, it comes out to $79 VPM.
I like it. I think that's 6%. I think you had all the right data. I was doing it on very, very broad numbers.
If we drop it to 4%, if we say 4% VPM with that same rate, it comes out to $53 VPM.
Right, but we actually know the percentage. That's something
right.
That's always just kind of like a. Well, that was not from download data. See, with no agenda, yeah. I have data on. We have a rough number of ideas of what we have a rough idea of how many downloads we get, which would be interesting to see now versus the last time that we accidentally found out. You found out. I said, "Hey, look at this." Now, how did that work last time?
Well, it was through the image art.
Yeah.
Because you put a new image art, and so it had to download. That was back with Apple Podcasts, and had to download before they centralized feed aggregation. So whenever you would put a new image into, when we put it behind Cloudflare, we put the images behind Cloudflare. And then, so you would get, it would tell you how many requests for that image were coming from Apple Podcasts, individual apps. And so then you could take that and do the math there and get roughly, you know, a million listeners. Which I think it was at the time. I think it's higher than that now. But then they messed that up when they went to the centralized. So now the individual mobile devices are downloading.
And you were picking up the stats because at that point somehow you had rigged it for me so it was going through Cloudflare?
Well, it was an accident because...
Yeah, that's what, exactly. Yeah, that's the point I wanted to get to.
Accidental. Yeah, it was an accident because we put your show notes art assets... Art and audio clip assets onto a Linode and put it behind Cloudflare to get the caching. And then you always uploaded the individual episode art to, you know, for each new show, you uploaded it to the asset server, which happened to be behind Cloudflare. And then we started seeing those stats by accident.
And what was the number you saw?
On No Agenda?
Yeah.
It was right around a million. For over a 7-day period.
For an episode, or is that two episodes?
That was for like the most recent couple of episodes. I think that's total. Cause there's always people that are behind, that are lagging behind.
Yeah.
It's been like a year and a half ago. So I think I remember.
It's really interesting, you know, because we have Thursday numbers and we have Sunday numbers, and you know, that Sunday is always lower, which I think is logical because, you know, people don't typically donate twice a week to a podcast. Many do, obviously. Mm-hmm. But also this rotates, you know, it's like people will not donate for 2 months and then they come back. And so it's the overall percentage, the number of people who, you know, actually don't know. Maybe we'll get somewhere. I'm very excited to try this. I think we should just do it.
Do the OP3.dev
do it on Sunday's episode. Let's see what happens. Now, if people can't get it or if it gets blocked or anything, I'm going to be excoriated.
Maybe Spurlock can chime
if
in.
He can verify. Now and yeah, if he could verify if we're good to go, then I'll just do it because that would be fun. And you have No Agenda. I think I'm proud to be a part of an open project. Let's learn something.
And well, that was my thing is that, you know, there's clearly a because Rob on New Media Show seemed very befuddled by the fact that
why were we even talking about it was a bigger thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's because, and we've talked about this before, bringing the open source mindset into podcasting, there's friction there. It's not normal. People in podcasting are not used to, I don't want this to sound too broad because I don't mean it that way, but I'm really talking a lot about money and statistics. People within the podcast industrial complex are not used to there being radical transparency around money and statistics.
Right.
I don't think that's a natural thing that everybody has become accustomed to. Mm-hmm. And so there is friction here, but there's clearly a set of people that jumped on this very quickly. Us, James at Pod News, Transistor, Justin and John over at Transistor, David Midas. There's a lot of people who are going to jump on this early because
It's fun.
The openness is a sort of exhilarating thing. We talked about last week. I will end up putting this. So that I don't have to do math anymore. I'm going to end up putting that code together and I'll just make it public. I mean, our VPM will be like constantly updated.
Yeah, of course.
So it's like I don't care. People can listen to the show and hear how much money we get to the show.
Yeah.
Why the hell did I care whether it's on a website or not? I mean, like, but I don't think people are used to that. And it freaks them out a little bit.
Of course it does. But, you know, I remember in the 15, and we're coming up October 26, 15 years, No Agenda, almost coincides with episode 1500. But I remember early on, you know, when people are like, these guys, they're just a scam. It's a cult. They're making you send your money. Yeah, like, we're really powerful. We're MK Ultra over here. And they would, I think it was like noagendanumbers.com. Let me see if it still exists. Hold on. Noagendanumbers.com. This guy was so pissed. Look at how much money they're making. And no one cared. They were like, whatever.
Yeah, because it's a good show. That's why it's like, yeah, I don't, if there's something that's really, this is why we made this point with causality when John Chidji was on the show. If it's a really good show, I'm really happy to hear that they're making a lot of money because it means they won't go away.
Exactly.
Because the last thing you want if you really love a show is for them to be struggling. Like, I don't want that.
Well, and it's, I've been doing, you know, Tina has been very helpful for me. This is, you know, she worked at nonprofits, so she understands a lot about gifting, donating, and subsequently value for value. Time, talent, treasure, I got from her. I totally stole that. Also, it's biblical, you know.
So, oh, it's very pastorish. Oh, yeah. Preachery.
Totally.
Yes.
It was funny because I was talking to Texas Slim. You know, he's, I gave you his profile. I said, man, you don't have your ask down yet. And it's very difficult for him because this is not how he was raised.
For a lot of people.
Right. Yeah. And so I helped him with an analogy of a barn raising, and that works for him. But also, I said, man, you've seen so many pastors. You know how the pastor seamlessly transitions into the, hey, it's time to pony up? Yeah. You'll get that way. But look at him. And it's not about why you have to give. Just look at the ease at which the pastor transitions, because the pastor is open and honest and is saying, we need this help. He's not saying God is mad if you don't pay him. He's, you know, he's, hey, this is for the church. Your giving does this. And, you know, of course, churches typically do a lot of good things with the money. But I said, just look at that. And that was very, very helpful to him. But I guess the whole point of value for value is so opposite. I mean, even it's funny. I look at, and I love where they're doing at Fountain, and I think it's really creative. But when I see a list of who's making the most Satoshis, it's like, it's not so interesting. You know, and I know it inspires a lot of people, but personally, I'm like, it doesn't really matter. You know, the list is, you know, okay, whatever. It's a list. It's a list here. There could be another list over there, and everyone can have a list. People are so inspired by lists. But in reality, that's not what makes, it doesn't make anything flow. You know, our board meeting, our weekly board meeting, we talk about the project. You know, it's making it flow, and we're surviving. I mean, so what do we do a month? We do about $1,800 a month total with our very generous $500 a month fiat donors.
Yeah, if you add it all up together, that sounds about right.
1,800, 2,000, was it somewhere along those lines?
It fluctuates, yeah. Sometimes it's lower, sometimes it's 16, 14, you know, 14. I mean, just depends on what's going on. But those baseline PayPal donations, you know, pay all the bills, and then the sats are what fluctuates.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, go ahead.
I was gonna say, bottom line is we get exactly what we deserve. This is what I've always said. You get exactly what you deserve. What we put into it, we get out of it. What you put into it, or conversely, what you get out of it, you want to put back into it. It works. Anyway, so I was gonna say, we've been discussing all these different reasons why people donate. And we've been asking people, I've been talking to people, and I'd love to know why people support Podcasting 2.0, because there's eight basic kind of, you know, you have to go into philosophy for this. This is, but just why is someone giving, besides, first of all, Podcasting 2.0, value for value, we've removed almost all friction, which is, you know, the beautiful thing is it's, you know, like you want to support, boom, you're good to go right there. No other.
There's literally a button.
It's a button right there. I mean, that's magic for anyone trying to raise money for anything or exchange value. People do it for social reasons. You know, this is your feedback loop, so that makes a lot of sense. People do it, there's really a top three. The one that I like the least, which is the most effective, is what I just call the sad puppy rule. I mean, it is true, if no one supports us, then the index goes away. I mean, it's that simple. And boo-hoo, won't that suck? So that is the most effective of all types of nonprofits is, you know, it's like, hey, if you don't give money, these kids and their families won't have a place to stay. Could be you one day. And that's
the American, what was it, the Kennel Club or whatever, the AKC, the one with the pets where it shows all the horrible dogs being mistreated and all that kind of stuff.
PETA, whatever. So, you know, there's that, but there's also, well, that kind of flows over to the other one, which is it resonates. So something about the ask, something resonates with people and they're motivated for their own reasons, which could be, oh man, you know, I wish when I was a kid, there was a resource where I could mess around and develop an app. And, you know, it could be any personal story. So these are the main reasons.
Well, Cotton Gin said it reminds me of the 90s internet. That's why I love it.
Do you remember the openness? Do you remember shareware? I mean, the idea was right, but we didn't have the mechanisms in place.
Mm-hmm.
Shareware involved you writing a check, putting it in an envelope, and sending it to somebody. You know, $5 to say thanks. I use your software. Then a lot of people did very well with shareware.
And now you talk about friction. Now that's some friction.
That's big ass friction.
Yeah. I mean, you got to go get a stamp. You got to get an envelope. You got to write a check. I mean, that's some big ass friction. I think that a rethinking of paradigms. Just talking about OP3.
Any sentence that starts with a rethinking of paradigms is just dynamite.
It's always valuable. We may find that. I don't know. We may find that 6 months from now that OP3 didn't produce a lot of value. Maybe it wasn't that big of a deal. I tend to think that that's not going to be the case, but you know, we always think that about the stuff that we're involved and excited about. But you know, we may think this is not. I mean, ultimately, it may prove to not be that big of a deal. But that's what the Mad Scientist Laboratory of Podcasting 2.0 is about.
Yes, exactly.
It's about trying to figure out crazy stuff, paradigm breaking things that challenge what's already been being done, and seeing if it has any value. And if it does, it'll bubble up.
Yep.
The cream rises to the top. If it doesn't, it'll go, you know, it'll fall away.
Like cross app comments.
Stop.
I have a thought about that. But okay. I don't want to interrupt your flow. Just bookmark it.
It's the visibility. To me, the power of the thing that got me excited the most about OP3 is the visibility outside of the bubble. Is having the numbers show up outside of, you know, your hosting dashboard, mm-hmm. or whatever, because then you can do things like, let me back up for a second. We know, or at least I hope we know, and I'm using the we to include everybody. I hope we all know that on a long enough time scale, IP addresses as a source of reliable information about things that are going on is probably going to go away.
Yeah, I would say so.
We've begun to see the infancy of this with Apple Private Relay and that kind of thing, Tailscale,
yeah,
exit nodes, Tor. There's a ton of mental pressure being applied across the open source world and the proprietary world as well, with privacy caring people. There's a lot of mental pressure being applied to how to get rid of IP addresses as a source of yucky information about people, and that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, what I care mostly about OP3 is not just a retread of what has already been done, even though I think it's valuable to have numbers in the open. I mean, that's just what we're about. But combining it with the ULID, to mm-hmm. me, that is the ultimate goal. That is the ultimate goal.
And the ULID again is?
That's where you create a random number. Your app creates a random number, applies it to this episode. And anytime you listen to that episode,
then
it attaches. Yeah.
Right. So then we know that that's you picking it up.
Yeah. You know that every unique ULID is a unique listener.
Right. Right. So what this does is it inspires app developers to add stuff like that to add to the ecosystem. So we have more fun.
Yeah. Right. Yes. This it's a sandbox.
Yeah. Is OP3, is there a benefit with IPFS?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Because one of the main problems that Cameron has told me about IPFS podcasting is if you go full IPFS protocol, IPFS:// instead of an exit node, you lose all kind of trackability.
Which makes sense.
So you can't do stats right now. He has download stats, which he gets from the network somehow. But if you could use this with IPFS with the protocol,
that's an interesting thing, because if you like your first instinct would be to say, okay, we'll put it through a redirect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
OP3 redirect and then somehow bounce it to IPFS.
Yeah. Or an IPFS redirect.
Ooh, an IPFS redirector.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Same idea, just for IPFS. Oh, man. I love it when your brain starts cranking. So sexy.
Well, you know what the other thing I noticed was about the CPM VPM thing? Uh-huh. Is if you look, so I pulled up AdvertiseCast's page about, and they give the latest CPM rates. And their little chart here.
Little chart.
Shows one, it's got three rows. And it says, this is for a 60-second ad CPM. Between 1,000 and 9,999 listeners is a $26 CPM.
Hmm. Interesting.
Between 10,000 and 99,999 is 24 CPM.
Oh, yeah.
And 100,000 plus is $20 CPM.
What is this fuckery?
So your CPM goes down.
The more successful you are. What is this? How does the more downloads you have. Does that make sense?
I don't know.
Shouldn't it be just one CPM?
You know what doesn't go down? VPM.
No, VPM does go down the larger. It has to go down the larger your show is.
Well, 4% is 4%. 4% of a million is
right. Well, you know what? We're going to find out. So, all right. So I love this. So no agenda. I say it's like 30.1 or something, 30.5. But that's my old calculation. So I'll be very, very curious to see. Now we can't do it one for one, actually, because we don't have any Boostergram data. We only have PayPal data. But you know what? Let's just see what happens with the episode of the numbers itself, and you know, we'll check it out.
I will provide the numbers to the shill on OP3.
And no! Don't give any. No! Ixnay! No! Don't involve anybody.
This is
supposed to be on the QT, bro.
Okay. I will not provide the numbers to anybody.
No, to me. Just tell me what numbers you see.
I will send you
one episode and one episode only. I don't want to get burned. I don't want to get caught. Everybody listening, don't be a narc. Don't be a narc.
I will send you a paper airplane with the numbers tucked discreetly in this intersection.
Come on, man. The chat room knows. I'm a punk rocker here. Come on, man. 2.0 is punk rock. Gabba gabba hey, okay? Let's do it. So cross app comments I have on my list, because you're absolutely right. It's one of those things that's just not working. It's not, but we don't have the spark. And and I'll be honest that when I look at comments that are working that could be cross app today, I have to say the lightning comments work.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of it, and I'm still not a fan of it, but I would rather have active people using lightning comments, because what I see in Fountain is impressive. Now it screws up my helipad with all kinds of little things, but that's also kind of cool because, oh, someone's commenting over there. Then I'll pop over, I'll open up the app, I'll go in, I'll reply. Maybe I'll give someone a little boost there. It's a very pleasurable way of interacting with the audience in an app. It would be nice if it could be cross app, and it seems like that's the easy part. So I'm just identifying something that's working. I'm not saying we all have to do that. I'm just throwing it out there as I am willing, if there's enough steam, to capitulate on this one. It's sad to me because we have such great infrastructure, but why is no one picking it up? What is happening?
I have thoughts.
Okay.
I'm
not set in stone, by the way. This is not, I'm just throwing it out there as usual.
I think the reason why while the Lightning comments are showing activity is not because, I think it's purely because Fountain gives monetary incentive for that to be the case. So they pay you for listening and comment and boosting.
I'm not so sure when it comes to the commenting, but I have no data.
Okay, that's my understanding of it. And on the flip side, these are my initial first thoughts. I didn't know you were going this direction. So my thought on the flip side is the reason people are not commenting on non-Lightning is because nobody gives a crap about commenting, generally speaking. And that the comments that we see about podcasts on things like Apple Podcast reviews, if you want to call those a comment for the purpose of this discussion, are mostly because people beg them to do it in the show. Hey, go give us a review. It helps.
I'm with you on that, but I guess my point is we have people commenting on these comment threads that we put as our base post in Podcasting 2.0. I do it on No Agenda. There's lots of comments in there. They don't surface on any app. People are just on the Mastodon commenting back and forth. No one's even sucking that in and displaying it.
Yeah, Podverses and Podfriend. Those are the two apps currently. Podverse shows the cross app comments every show. You can go and expand them on the website and in the app too.
Okay, because I've really gotten into the Podverse app, so I'm surprised that I didn't see that.
It's on. I don't remember where it is.
I got it right here. Let me see. Okay, I see.
I don't remember if you have to swipe.
Chapters. You got to swipe. Oh, swipe.
Maybe you get a swipe left or something.
That's if I don't like it. Okay. stop. Okay. Chapters, clips, comments.
I know where it is.
I apologize. Okay. Yeah. So the obvious. Yeah. Okay. So this is great. I like how it's done. I like how it's implemented. I can't add to the thread. So all it would take would be reply or post. You know. So it hasn't been. I mean, it leaves the Podverse app if you tap on it. So that's something. It takes you to the core post. That's totally appreciated. We're so close, yet we're not there.
Yeah, because it's hard.
I know it's hard. I'm just saying. Okay, yeah. I'll hold off. Honestly, I'm impressed with Podverse overall. And I want to say that I think there was some misunderstanding. It's a early technology choice player issue is why Podverse is not doing per minute streaming sats yet. James had some questions about that, and I think that's in the works. It's not because Mitch has decided that's just a shit idea.
No, he's not. He has not made that decision.
Oh, and I do have to give James props because he said something very appropriate, which we do need to talk about briefly because we're going to talk about music as well.
Okay.
I agree completely on legality. So if RSS Blue or anyone else is offering music uploads to be flagged as music in the podcast index, and I hope we have an update on that. I agree. That's a very, very dangerous thing to do. See Spotify, who have just opened up, you know, pirating of movies to their video service. I mean, who would have thought that would happen? And the better idea is, you know, SoundCloud, they already, their members are already screened and cleared, and there's, we know who has rights and registrations. Any existing music service that knows how to do that is a better bet than, you know, stepping into it just like, oh, this is cool, and doing it because you, you're going to get burned. You're probably going to get burned. It's just going to suck for you. It's going to be a lot of work. Unless that's your business plan, and then, you know, we will support you 100%. But it's very, dangerous venture to do that.
Well, I've got questions about it. This is good discussion, because where I'm at right now is I've got the downloader working that is downloading. It's slurping down enclosures.
Yes. What's it called again?
Slurpee.
Slurpee. Right. Got yes. It. I love your code names.
It is slurping down enclosures. It's done like 180,000 so far enclosures. It's about a gig and a half. I mean, a terabyte and a half.
It's actually downloading them all locally.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. It's going through the latest weekly data massive dump and downloading the last enclosure of each podcast.
So are you downloading the entire podcast universe? I don't understand. Are you just saying, fuck it, I'll download everything?
Not entirely, about half of the entire podcast universe. So Anchor is excluded because they don't allow music by policy.
Right. They only allow Top Gun and other brand new movies.
Movies. Yeah.
But exactly. Don't pirate music.
Yeah. So they don't allow music. So we exclude them. That takes, half the index away almost automatically. Not half, but about a third. We take away LibriVox, just and other ones that are just like, clearly they're not going to have any music at all. So you take that all that away. Then you also filter out anything that is just an arbitrary limit of 2 hours or less. That's still a lot.
No kidding. Now you do that with a head or get request or something, a head request just to see the file length.
No, just looking at the duration, because the duration mostly is in there. Right. I added the duration to the download, to the massive dumps.
We already have that. We already have the... Don't we have duration data already for everything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of the older, some of the really, really early stuff, the duration is messed up.
And they dumps. They call them dumps. Big, massive dumps.
You said it so many times I had to play.
Yeah. I was triggering you.
I was. I was late, actually.
Yes, you were late. Yeah. So so filtering out some of that stuff, and then I don't remember how many it came back with, but it's downloading them all one at a time. Mm-hmm. Or, excuse me, no, to 23 at a time. That's concurrent. That's what Slurpee's for. You can give it a number of things to download. How many you wanted to download? Is this what
we upgraded an extra $80 a month for the?
No, I hadn't done that yet. No.
Oh, that's for actual business?
That's for real business. That's okay. For real podcast stuff. But this is just on my local computer. This is just my computer. I'm doing this. This is not on a server.
Oh, goodness.
I'm just doing this from my house.
How big is your hard drive?
I've got it hooked up to a 4 terabyte drive.
Okay.
An external drive.
So. Nice. Sweet.
So then we...
SCSI drive?
It's not a SCSI drive with frozen garden hose. It's not that.
I love that shit. Those huge connectors with the clips.
Do you remember LVM? It was the real thin one. It was like SCSI 3, I think.
I remember Apple Talk.
Apple Talk. With Terminators? You have to use Terminators?
No Terminator, no joy.
Yeah. The whole network goes down.
Wouldn't work.
it's downloaded a bunch of stuff. It's downloaded a ton. And then there's this Python script that Alex has helped me tweak around on. That actually does the analysis. That looks and looks at whether or not this is speech or music. Mm-hmm. Now it's not 100%. It's not even close. But I'll tell you that The times that it gets confused is when there's somebody with a bed of music behind them that's talking.
Ah, right. That's where it falls apart. Sure.
And there's actually a lot of those where it'll be 45-minute episode of somebody talking and there's a bed behind them the entire time.
NPR.
Yeah. There's some of that. There's also, if the audio is crappy enough, I think it gives enough background
to make it sound like it's a song.
To make the waveform look like it's music. Yeah.
Wow.
And like, I think it's just the background noise makes it look like it's a continuous wave.
You know, this is what you need. Remember Paul Itoy used to tell us how Sphinx was being used in the Philippines and it would be used to train AI and machine learning. So they'd show, you know, you show a picture and it'd say, is there a dog in this picture? Yes or no. Boom. You answer and then you get 10 sats. Next picture. So we need,
I want to do that.
Yeah. We have a version for that, for this. Like, is this a real song? Yes. No.
I want to do that. Like, so what it's doing is the Python script is running the analysis, using the GPU of the video card, running the analysis. And then, if it thinks there's an 80% or higher likelihood that it's music, it will just create an empty file with the name of the podcast index ID in a directory.
Oh, okay. So then
called music.
Right. So then you can go and retrieve that.
Right. So when it's all said and done, we should have a big long list of all of the episodes of all of the podcast IDs that it thinks are music podcasts. Then we can wrap that up into some sort of, you know, script or something. And then we can crowdsource it to say, to have people actually listen to it and say if it is indeed a music or just a false alarm. Mm-hmm. So out of 46,997 podcasts that it has analyzed so far, it thinks 804 of those are music podcasts.
And so that's about 6%.
Is it? Is that what that is?
No, I have no idea. I'm just throwing that out there. Did you like that? It sound convincing?
I thought you did math. That was really fast.
I'm just throwing a number out to see if you had done the math.
No. I was like, holy crap. Let's see, 804 divided by.
I can't even give you the sats, the dollar amount. I think in sats. I don't even think in dollars most of the time.
Looks like that's around 2%.
That's pretty low. Okay,
well, 1.7%.
All right. So, what's the next step in the procedure? Once Slurpee has done its job, then what?
Here's an example. Here's an example track. So, if you go to podcast index ID 44955, there's a little bit I put in the clips today. If you got my clips, I've got.
Oh, yes, thank you.
I've got an example track in there.
Oh, here we go. Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds, you know what that sounds like? Wow.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
Hawaii
5-0? Yes. Hold on. Oh, now I got to do it.
You love the Hawaii 5-0.
I love the Hawaii 5-0 thing. Where's my Hawaii 5-0?
You don't have it on a pad on the Rodecaster Pro 2?
I'm bad. I'm not that bad here. Okay.
That's it.
Okay, so that's a jam right there.
It is. I found that on that is on Podomatic hosting company, and it is from 2013. So it's been there for 9 years.
And this is hold on. We should have done that properly. Okay. Hold on a second. Yeah, that's Pressure from Brianna Roy. Okay. Backing out there.
53-second track, and there's three tracks on this podcast, and they're all of this.
It's an EP.
All like this.
It's an EP.
It is. It's an EP.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Good. No, Dynamite, good find. Flip the bit, make it music.
Brianna, we need to find Brianna, give her a split.
Yes. Or him.
So
I don't know.
Or him.
Him. Them, they.
Them, they. So So here's the kosher part. Like if, so the, here's this thing that's been out in the universe for 9 years publicly on the internet.
Yeah. How about
there's
that?
Yeah, right. There's, and it seems to be just some original dubstep something.
It's a jam. I'm liking it.
Uh-huh. Well, there's no iTunes owner tag. I have no idea how to get in touch with Brianna. Brianna Roy.
Have you tried Google?
I have not Googled for Brianna.
Is there no link in the RSS feed?
Mm-mm, it just links back to the Podomatic page. It doesn't link to a personal side of anything. There's no podcast license tag or
Brianna
like
Roy YouTube. Oh, there you go. Let's see, Brianna. Oh. Let's see. Do you think? Nah, that can't be the same Brianna Roy.
Nah. Did you check LinkedIn?
That's Dvorak's jam, man. That's not me. Let's see. This, I don't think this is the same Brianna Roy.
Does she do dubstep on Twitch?
Hold on. You better stop. She look good. I am that bitch, man. Nope.
That may be.
No, I don't think so. No.
Sounds very dubsteppy.
Are there any lyrics with that thing?
No.
Okay. No. Well, she's a singer.
Oh, Brianna Roy. Okay. Maybe she upgraded.
Doubt it.
So here's the question. What are we left with Brianna's tracks? Are they, if there's like what legal status, if we wanted to take this and drop it in as end of show mix, what is that gonna do? Like how does that work?
Right now we have no idea. We really couldn't do it because legally you can't do it because we have no idea who owns the royalties, rights, etc. If she would claim this and say, yep, this is mine, this is my feed, and I warrant that this is my stuff and here's my split, I would say at the 1 hour and 1 hour and 1 minute mark, there would be a split there which would send off a significant portion of the show to Brianna Roy's wallet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I envision.
Yeah, like a split in the chapter, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't quite figured it out, but that's the dream. Right now, we need to find Brianna Roy. That's the title right there, show title.
Find
Brianna Roy. I'm doing it. That's hilarious. Where is Brianna Roy?
Where is Brianna?
Okay, well, where is Brianna? That's better. Good. I love it. Great title.
Yeah, so like I bet you there's tons of these.
Yeah. So I don't know what to do about it other than make it available as a music track in apps that want to show that, and you know, que sera sera, I guess.
At least
we have a nice base to start with.
There's also, what is this one? This is, I wrote down 46991.
And it's Brianna is Brian A. It's Brianna. Maybe it's Brian A. Roy. Who knows?
This is another one. There's a podcastindex.org/podcast/46991.
Do I have to look this up?
Not unless you want to, but that's another example of a music feed that this thing found. And that is from...
What was it? I'm sorry. What was the number again?
The podcast ID is 46991.
469 or 9 or 1. Albie keeps popping. I find myself having to log into Albie a lot.
Me too.
It's getting a little annoying. Yeah. It's a little much. Let's see. Dude, I'm liking it. What is this?
Podcasting 2.0.
2.0. 2.0.
2.0. Oh, dynamite.
Yeah, got tons it. Of that stuff.
So, lots of DJ mixes and stuff. Sure. You know, I just had a meeting today with the owner of 100% Retro. And
what is that?
100% Retro is a streaming radio station from the Netherlands, Belgium to be exact. And here, I'll play it for you. So they're 24/7. They have, this guy's pretty, he's hired K Kim Wilde and all kinds of legacy people to talk, you know, and it's basically, let me see, and they have a whole... That's what I was. Whoa. I was playing. You know, there's a. It's a. It's retro. 100% retro.
This is Dutch. It's a Dutch station.
That's all English. Well, it's international languages as the clock moves around the globe.
But they got clever.
Yeah, and so he's like, I want to be on the lit stream. So okay, send me some promos. You know, so the feed will be filled up with, oh, is this Kim Wilde? Whatever. Listen to my show. And then it'll be continuously lit. And it's a 24-hour stream. So, and we'll flip the music tag, the medium tag to music. Okay. So when you're in a music app and you're going through the albums, you'll see 100% retro and you'll click on it and you can listen live or listen to whatever else they're going to put into that feed.
Oh, yeah, this has got Darren O written all over it, I agree.
Totally, exactly.
Okay, so did you hear Todd on the New Media Show say that he had set up an audio, an Icecast server, and he would be willing to share it?
I love that. That was great.
Well, shouldn't there be, in that scenario, should there not be...
A split.
A split, of course. A way to signal a split.
Of course.
Like I'm going to pay you a little bit in order to rent your stream for a little bit.
Right, but I mean that can also just be, I mean, the simple SneakerNet version is, hey man, let me use your stream and I'm going to put you in the value block for the live episode for the lit. Yeah.
Totes
my goats. I can't believe you said that. Should we thank a few people who have been sending comments, feedback in the form of boostergrams?
For sure.
I think it's time. Now, Chimp, by the way, is no slouch. Chimp comes in just 7 seconds ago with 92,422 Satoshis. Thank you.
Yo.
Join Chimp and Captain Brunch on Saturday Night Lit 20 EST. The newest Lit V for V show to hit the wave starts this Saturday. Big shout out to Stephen B and Sovereign Feeds for making it possible. So there's a promo. That's nice.
Yeah, I saw that the chimp lit thing was going on. I haven't tuned in yet though.
99,099 from G of the Midwest. Sometimes Podverse crashes when I boost, but overall it's my favorite PC 2.0 compliant app for streaming the sats. Booberry with a row of sticks, 11,111. To answer Adam's question, I like supporting Podcasting 2.0 because it is the punk rock thing to do, and it'll piss your nanny state off. Being a part of the Stay a While album and seeing it release, it felt like a first victory against the New World Order. The future's so lit, you're going to need 3D glasses.
I like it.
10,101, so 10101 from Zombie Slave. Must send boost. Receive. Thank you.
Boost.
555 from Yeldar. Hi, Adam and Dave. This is Yeldar, a podcaster from Kazakhstan. I'm nice. Boosting you. I have great news. I started a podcast. We have great news over the transom from Kazakhstan. From Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan.
All right. So what does Yeldar say? I have great news. I've started a podcast with the aim of protecting, distributing, developing podcasting in Kazakhstan. Hello.
Nice.
On this occasion, I have a favor to ask. Could you record a welcome speech to my listeners for a couple of seconds, please? The podcast name is Quaz Podcast, Q-A-Z. Thank you in advance. Go podcasting. Okay, Quaz. So Q-A-Z pod. Do you think it'll be Quaz or Kaz? I don't want to mess it up. You know, I don't want to give him a bad example.
Google Translate. Does it go from Kazakh to?
Can you do just Q-A-Z? Any Kazakhs?
Kazakh. Here we go. Kazakh. Okay. Q-A-Z. Kazakh. Gas. Gaz is what it translates to in English.
Gaz? Well, it makes sense to have a Gaz podcast in Kazakhstan.
Yes, it does. Let's see.
Oh, man, that's really risky.
Yeah, Gaz.
Gaz? Like gas? Gaz!
So I guess it's just...
I'll throw a little Kazakh accent on it. Throw a little Borat in there. A little Borat, and I'll be fine.
It's universal.
So I think we should do, you know, like... I'll say, hey, I'm Adam Curry, the pod father. You say, hi, it's Dave Jones, the pod sage. Let's do it really hokey. And then I'll finish it up. It'll be fine. I know how to do this. Ready?
Yep.
Hi, everybody there in Kazakhstan. My name is Adam Curry, also known as the pod father.
And this is Dave Jones, the pod sage.
We want to welcome you to the brand new Podcasting 2.0 initiative in Kazakhstan. Gaz Podcast all the way.
Go podcasting!
Dude,
that sounds professional.
Epic.
That's straight voiceover work. We should get paid for that. We did get paid for that.
Paytar 50,000 pops right in. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Thank you, Paytar. Appreciate that. 10,000 from Eric PP. No boost otherwise. We got a 19,760 sats. That would be a 1976 bicentennial boost times 10 from the Dirty Jersey Whore.
Go podcasting!
I met the Dirty Jersey Whore.
No, you did not.
I did. Where? He was at the Beef Initiative. Jersey? He came to the Beef Initiative in Bluffton, Georgia.
Was he dirty?
Very dirty.
Okay.
He's about 6'5", you know, has about 40 pounds on me. Big beard, you know, he's a really nice guy. Big, burly, fun guy. A total Jersey whore.
Of course.
That's what all our whores look like.
It's what it said on the box.
That's right. Right on the tin. 6969 from Booberry. Boost harder, he says. Thank you. Message received. Love that. Harv Hat 10101. Another Booberry 36969. Where's the boost? There was supposed to be an earth shattering boost. All right, man.
Boost.
Your boost. And Booberry's just high here. 33. permissionless milkshakes. Okay. Lyceum 2222. Hi again. International Podcast Day is the right name of the event. September 30th. David Lee. Sorry for the misspelling. I wonder if I have the ducks in a row next Friday. Best premises, Martin Lindeskog. So Martin's up to something there. Oh man. What does he have? He has another here. It's complicated. What are you trying to something up? Well, International Podcasting Day apparently is on September 30th. And okay. Let me see. Is that I think that we've got all of the pre-show boosts out of the way. Thank you all very much. You are part of our very coveted VPM, and soon we'll learn more about that.
Yes.
Thank you for being a number.
Part of the VPM algorithm.
Thank you for being a number.
Yes.
Come again.
That's why it's gross. I hate this stuff.
No, I really dig it. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to learn. Just learning more. And obviously, I see that, you know, it could be that people come together and say, hey, we like this rule, or here's our white list, or here's our black list. And they put it all together in an open fashion, and they come up with something that, you know, that works for their system.
I don't like the math behind, and it's not just that I don't like math. It's that I think the math is inherently flawed, because the bigger, so, you know, we talked about this with the podcast consultants who say, okay, well, you have this many downloads and here's the current CPM rate. And, you know, if you increase your downloads by this and your engagement percentage by this, then here's the formula and this is how much money you're going to make.
Yeah.
And that's a complete BS. Because this is what's, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
this is what is going to happen with programmatic. The more, by its very nature of supply and demand, by economic law, the more people who enable programmatic, the lower the rates are going
to
get.
Absolutely. Go ahead. I have something to add to that in a minute.
Okay. If there's 5,000 podcasters right now who have programmatic turned on, if 2 years from now there's 200,000 that have it turned on, your rates are going
to
go through the floor.
Kind of has
to. Everybody's going to make less money.
Yeah.
Now the fill rates are going to go down the crapper. Everything is going to fall apart.
I think the fill rates are pretty open as it was really odd because both Podland does mid rolls from Buzzsprout and Blueberry. Who are they with? Who does Blueberry have doing their dynamic ad insertion?
Soundstack? Does that sound right?
I think I wrote it down here. Yeah, SoundStack. I think
it's called SoundStack.
Yeah, there's SoundStack and AdvertiseCast. Those are kind of the two players, I believe. Okay. So now I've been receiving, whenever I started the new media show, an ad for Nice, NICE.com. I'm not quite sure what they do. It was not appropriate for me. Which is okay. They're short. You know, they're really kind of non-intrusive. They're almost like very short radio ads, which is kind of the problem that I had with it. Because the one that I got today as I was listening was for a promotion for a hepatitis C vaccination.
Ooh.
Which, by the way, you know, that's pharma money. That's pretty good. I mean, that's impressive. Yeah. That's advertising out there. But it took me to a place that I wasn't prepared for. I was ready for afternoon delight, diddle-dum, diddle-dum, dum, taut and rope in the morning, in the afternoon. And I got, are you seething with hepatitis C?
Do you have foam coming out of your nose?
No, of course you don't, because you're going to get vaccinated with this Hep C vaccine. So it was just jarring, that's all. What I was going to add to this is I received our podcast evaluation for No Agenda.
Oh,
from the podcast broker.
From the sell your podcast. Podcastbroker.com.
Yes.
Can you share it?
I'm going to, absolutely.
Okay. I'm all ears. I'm on my toes.
So podcastbroker.com, I really like this concept. You know, you can say, hey, I'm tired. And believe me, I mentioned these numbers on No Agenda. I said, Dvorak and I, are we tired? Yeah, we're tired, man. Should we punch out? Yeah. We can sell this thing? Really? Yeah. Apparently we can. So now the podcast broker gives us an honest evaluation. And, you know, it still has to put it out in the market. But I think the podcast broker would hopefully already have an idea of potential buyers. Maybe not.
It's an IPO. It's an initial podcast offering.
Well, in a way, except then the hosts don't get sold with the show.
Yeah, y'all have to get out. You have to leave.
That's the point. So,
and they don't want you. They just want the show.
So, you know, your domain names, your catalog, you know, all this stuff, everything. Now, besides that being, I think, pretty much impossible because we don't own anything, but all the stuff is done by producers of the show. Yeah. And that, you know, we probably never would. But it was fun to find out, but not for this money. So I gave them some honest but general numbers. And the net present value at sale, you want to guess the No Agenda show, what that would be worth to someone who's going to buy that from us us?
Just the nature of what this thing is, I'm going to say that it's going to be something absurdly low. And I'm going to say, I'm going to go $150,000.
Oh, No. 15 years, man. Almost 1,500 shows. No, $1,846,611. Which is not enough for us to give it up, obviously. But here's what's interesting. So they say, you know, and it's a very short note. It's nice. It's formatted. But then it says, right on the same page, it says potential annual programmatic ad revenue.
Wait, you get a residual?
No, I think that this is how they would sell it. It's like this show with this audience has a potential annual programmatic ad revenue number. So again, the net present value, if we sell it, if someone would buy it, is 1.8 million, 1.85 roughly. The potential annual programmatic ad revenue, should you buy this fantastic property without the host, or more importantly, and I think that was the message, hey, why would you sell your podcast when we can get you this money in programmatic ad revenue? The number.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now this makes sense.
The number is $2.4 million.
Well, there you go.
I mean, Dvorak, can I have value for value? Stick it up your butt. We'll take the $2.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is drop some Hep C ads in your
and we're good podcast. To go. Hep C, yeah. And you're a millionaire. You can move to Beverly.
Yeah, and you change nothing about your show except every once in a while you just say, "Hey, John, have you taken your Hep C yet?" Yeah, I did, Adam. It was great, man. It made me feel all tingly, and I thought I got all freaked out, but then I thought, you know what? This is kind of chill.
The sad thing is, both of us are very capable of doing that. We have done it before. Very, very capable of it. Not a problem.
That's funny.
Yeah, so that was...
No, there you go. I see this now. I still just don't understand this whole, like... So for most people, it's not about selling your podcast. It's about, you can get more money through programmatic ads. But if you got offered $1.8 million for a podcast... where the hosts aren't there anymore. I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense.
All I was thinking
because is most podcasts, the hosts are the show.
I was thinking if I just kill off Dvorak, you know, the show has to end anyway. Boom. 1.8 yeah. mil for me, baby.
That's right. You don't have to share that at all.
No. Screw that.
I just don't understand, man.
Now I think that. About it. He might kill me off. I got to be careful.
The funny thing would be is if somebody, whoever buys No Agenda, they're going to get in there and be like, Jim, contact those noagendashop.com guys. Let's check out that contract. See what it looks like. There is no contract, sir. What?
Yeah, actually, that's funny you mentioned that. For the 15th anniversary, what I want to do is have a list of all the stuff that has been done by No Agenda that has nothing to do with us. But all the, how many t-shirts have been sold? How many artists got paid for that? How many meetups were there? You know, there's so many cool metrics that we have no idea about.
You can imagine somebody doing the same thing with it. Like, you know, you buy a podcasting 2.0 show and it's like, contact the OP3.dev team and let's get them in here for the boys. Like, yeah, let's
get them in here for a code review.
For a code review. It's like, you know, they're their own thing, right? There's no, what?
Well, so that's one other important thing I wanted to say, because it's, and I was going to do a clip because it was, but then again, it was about Acast laying off, 70 people or 15% of its staff.
That's sad. It's sad. I don't want that to happen.
No, of course it's sad, but I do want to remind everybody, this is exactly what I predicted. This is going to happen because for all of the $1 billion that is floating around podcasting, not a single one of these companies, except I guess Podomo, maybe that may be a different deal, but apparently none of them are able to make profit. And Acast is public, which makes it even more, it's unrelenting if you're, I've run a public company. I've run companies with 700 employees and it sounds really harsh. And that was the worst part of the job. And in this case it was, and it's very similar, I think, with advertising because we were in advertising. Oh, we lost a client or the client, cut their budget. Well, there's a team. And, depending on what you can do, can you move someone to other teams? Can we replace them with a new client? Which is usually the first thing you try to do. You always have a pipeline. But if not, a team has to go. That's the nature of the business. And the advertising business is the same, whether you're in, print advertising or podcast advertising. On all sides of the equation, yes. But I just want to remind everybody, the core problem is... the central bank rates. This is the core problem for most people who, if you're now in your 30s, you don't know what it was like before free money. The free money came after the financial crash, which is how they didn't fix anything, but how they made it groovy for everybody is, investors could literally, banks could literally get money for free and invest it anywhere and go for growth, young man, go for growth. And now that's over. And I know how hard it is to actually make money in the advertising game with podcasts, unless you compromise to the degree that you're A, making podcasts for the advertiser and then supporting that with ads around your network. That's typically what happens. Happened to me, is no shame in it, but it's annoying. Or the reason why I left my own company was I felt like I was, building NASCARs with great drivers, except here came the commercial guys, and they put stickers all over the windshield so my driver couldn't drive. Couldn't see it, couldn't see out the windshield. And I quit. It wasn't fun anymore. It was not fun. You know, BMW, they heard something on this podcast, and Madge Weinstein said something, wasn't even advertised on that podcast, but it's part of the network. I mean, it's a never-ending nightmare. They want to be in control. They want to know exactly what's happening. The ones that aren't are going to be, you're just not going to have enough of them at the low prices they will actually settle for. I mean, I think I sent you a link. There's companies who are buying up Renman advertising already and giving out great deals to people. Just, like Ricketts is a typical advertiser, I think. They do. They own lots of small, fast-moving consumer goods, like allergy stuff. Zyrtec might be theirs. Or soap products. They'll buy Renman inventory and just blanket the landscape. But, you got to think what you're doing. When I put into the mood for my afternoon delight with a little bit of Hep C, it's jarring, man. I got to be honest about it. I'm okay. I'm not hurt, but it was jarring.
Yeah. Well, that's, I don't know. I think the time to get out, if you were going to get it, see, do you think this is fair? In the podcasting industrial complex, the time to get out with an exit was probably a year ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you trigger something with me. Because when Joe was peak getting out, really, that also started a lot of other things. But No Agenda is completely inappropriate for, and No Agenda is always going to be what it is until we're no more, and then we'll see what happens.
It's like Rush without Neil Peart. It's just not going to happen.
Right. Exactly. When I hear that Spotify has now, so they do music, they've expanded to audiobooks, for which they have.
Oh, the prices are high. Woo.
Well, they have prices. I have to say, I saw this right away when they launched podcasting. When you go to put your work, your love, your value, your heart and soul, your emotion, your laughter, whatever it is, you're putting that into a podcast and you're going to sign up with Spotify, and you literally tick the box and give them the rights to everything, and they pay you nothing. What is wrong with you people? Look at what they're doing with other types of content. Why do you consider yourself to be less?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Is Spotify doing anything for podcasters? Are there any advertising deals? Can you sign up and get ad money from them? I don't think so.
They own Megaphone.
Oh, okay.
And now I think they bought them maybe last.
All right.
Earlier this
All
year.
Right, bro.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think you're right. I mean, I think in general, taking your content and making money off of it, and you get, well that goes back to the CPM thing. Mm-hmm. I wadded my paper up, but the CPM thing, that CPM rate, that 20, whatever, or it said on there, like between $5 and $12 for a programmatic, $5 and $12. That's $5 and $12 total. That you only get 70% of that.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's that. Yeah. Goes there's to that.
The,
yeah.
Yeah. It goes to the agency. So like, that $5 CPM currently, which may be $2 in 5 years. I mean, 1,000 downloads gets you, $1. With whatever, 70% of $5 is, $3.50 or whatever. I think that's just right. Not great.
I love the Vulture article in, I guess that's part of New York Magazine.
I haven't read that yet.
It's very long. It is fantastic because it shows you, it describes to a T the podcast industrial complex. 100% and how the people inside of it think. And it's all hits driven. Oh, we haven't had a hit like Serial for years. It's like podcasting is just radio now. It's been ages since the last blockbuster narrative show. What does that mean for the medium as an art form? And what they're stuck in, the author and a lot of the people referenced here, is the idea that you have to have a hit that everyone's talking about, but you don't. Yeah. This show right here is a hit. It's a hit in our industry. No one knows about it. You can't get it on Spotify or Apple Podcast. No, someone did upload it.
You can't get it on Apple.
Yeah, someone pirated us in there. That's interesting. We don't care. And it's all about, you know, oh, the numbers are down. It's only 30,000 now. And like, who cares? If you like, and I really like this podcast where the crawdads sing, but there's not enough people listening to it. Who cares? Did you like it?
Where the crawdads sing.
there was something. This is the Alex Bloomberg, co-founder of Gimlet Media, the once golden child of the podcast business that was sold to Spotify in 2019. What does he say here? Oh, yeah. So in other words, a media business, I was asking him, is this all going to end up shaking out like radio? In other words, a media business that mostly revolves around high-profile talking heads, Rush Limbaugh, Howard Stern, Joe Rogan, Alex Cooper, the trio of Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, and Sean Hayes, who reportedly signed a deal with Amazon worth as much as $80 million for pot. You know, it's all circle jerk. And they even say, you know, we've built Hollywood, but, you know, there's no content, there's no hits. And it's the exact same problem as what you said about programmatic ads. There's a lot of podcasts, and they have their own little audience, and they have their own value structure and their own value chain, and they're going to be just fine. They will get exactly out of it what they deserve, and that's the future. That is the media. You know, Beef Initiative, Texas Slim is a podcast. It's really important for, you know, hundreds of people, maybe 1,000. That's it. To them, and that's beautiful, and there's money flowing, and there's ranchers selling beef, and people feeling good, and they're getting, I mean, the whole thing is all organized around a podcast. That's the future. That's the future of media we're living right now. This idea of you have to be number one on the chart. It's ludicrous. You will lose. Only two people win, and one of them is always Beyonce.
You know. You know, this podcasting 2.0 in Apple Podcasts, that how we've been put in there. Mm-hmm. You know, you changed the live image today so that it
I did. I shows put it, up
you in the push notification.
I got a push notification.
Okay, so this is going to be you have inadvertently done an experiment, because we don't know how this podcasting 2.0 running with scissors art got into Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. Because that art only shows up in two places in the feed. It shows up in the live item image tag.
And one episode, probably.
And no, it shows up in every other episode, but only as part of the images tag, the podcast colon images tag.
Oh, interesting.
So that means the Apple Podcasts directory, their aggregator, is either running through the feed and looking and finding the first image and hitting the first iTunes colon image it can find, mm-hmm. and grabbing that, mm-hmm. irrespective of XML structure, which would pick it up from the live item, mm-hmm. or it's interpreting the podcast colon images namespace tag. Or, well, I guess a third option, less likely, is it's interpreting the podcast live item tag, which I doubt, but who knows what they're doing internally. This is going to be interesting, because if the image that you changed in the live item becomes the Apple Podcast directory image for us, we will know that they're picking it up from the live item. If it doesn't,
I'll give you another scenario. Here's what I think happened.
Okay.
So, this image is just an episode image, and I put the one of Phoebe in there with the value for value logo around her neck, which was done by, Mark Dond. Thank you very much. Very funny. She got a little booties on. So I didn't sync that with the channel image. So it shows up in the notification, shows up if you're playing the live episode, the lit episode. Mm-hmm. It's possible that I synced the Running with Scissors image at one point during an episode. Just, I think I did. I recall syncing it once. So it was the logo. And Apple has a very stringent rule. no 2000 by 2000 minimum image, you're not going to show up as an image. I'm pretty sure that I never bothered to make our channel image 2000 by 2000 pixels. So it must have picked up that one that was the channel image. It is 2000 by 2000, I believe, or larger. And so anything else that's come since then, it's just rejected it. It won't change it. This is years of experience talking.
Yeah.
I have to say, sometimes I don't sync the channel image or I screw it up and I put the wrong image that isn't the 2000 by 2000 one into the No Agenda feed. And Ted Hossman always emails me, man. I love that guy. Say, hey, man, fix your image.
2000, but
see. I really tried to not mess that up.
I'm trying to see how big this one is. This one is. No, yep, you're right. It's 534 by 504.
Our current one?
Yeah. Dang it. I thought we may have uncovered a secret tag use with it. Secret podcasting namespace tag with an Apple.
I doubt it. I'm sorry. Hey, should we thank some people here, Dave, who have been supporting us so nicely? And we're moving up on $1.35, so we probably want to let people, the donuts are a little stale at this point in the boardroom.
Cold coffee doesn't bother me. I'm all right. Let's do some PayPals first. We've got big PayPal week. We got Marco. Oh, really? No. $500 every month.
He gets a big baller for that.
Baller! Yeah, oh yeah. Shot caller, 20-inch blade on the Impala.
Thank you very much for our VPM increase.
Yes. And I got to contact him this week and ask if he needs the episode, the Mimic, the iTunes API Mimic stuff. I let him know that that stuff was live. So he can use it as a fallback. And I need to contact him again to see if he needs the episode lookup thing, because that's another one, but it's going to be a lot more complicated. And if he doesn't need it, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
Buzzsprout, also, $500.
Really? Yes. Shakala, 20-inch blade on the Impala.
Big month. Nice. Thank you, everybody. Yes.
I sent Tom and Kevin a couple of are you even in the Index Bro t-shirts on my own dime.
Oh, cool. So, cool.
Yeah. Just felt
still got to order mine. I love those. Those are so, so awesome.
I wore mine at the podcast movement.
Did you get any comments on it?
Yeah. Yeah. From Tom and Kevin. They're like, where's our shirts?
Hey man, where's our shirts?
I'm like, on the way, man, on the way.
You can Alex expense Gates. That to the, you should expense that to the Index, man. You don't have to pay for that.
Nah, it's fine. Alex Gates, he gave us $100 as a one-time donation. Oh, Alex, thanks so much, man. Alex.
Really appreciate that. That's very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very kind of Alex. And I appreciate dearly the help with Python, because I'm a Python idiot. I know nothing about it. Let's do some boostergrams. We got Chad Farrow, 3333 through Fountain. No nice. Note.
Thank you,
Chad. Chad Farrow again, 25,000 sats. And he says, Adam and Kyle making ISOs while Dave was rebooting was podcasting gold.
Wait a minute. Where was it? I had it here.
I still haven't heard that. Are you boot! Talking about the boot?
There we go.
Boot! boot!
Well, your computer hasn't crashed yet, but when it does, I'll be ready.
I rebooted the computer right before the show. Yeah, I went ahead and got that out of the way.
Trust me, that means nothing. Trust me. I know how this works.
It's coming. Frozier gave us 5,000 sats, no note. Nice. Thank you, Frozier.
Thank you.
Oh! Look at who it is. Kyle Bear, 20,000 sats. Nice. He says, thanks so much for having me on and giving the Intergalactic Boombox some love.
Boost!
Speaking of love, love your work, man.
That was a fun episode. Yes.
Boost!
A lot of people liked that episode. It was fun. He was a fun guy to talk to from a very different perspective, you know, much more talent, obviously. It's talent.
Well, I've been trying to sprinkle in every now and then. I'm going to try to do a value for value podcaster that's not necessarily technical. Every great once in a while, throw in an actual podcaster. Like I want to get Kyron from Immortals on the show at some point. Just because it's really helpful to hear the non-technical podcaster's point of view when it comes to how to handle all this stuff. And I think that's a valuable perspective.
Completely agree.
Roy Scheinfeld.
Hey, Roy Scheinfeld. Hey, Roy, how you doing?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mm-hmm. And he just says, great episode.
How you doing, Booster?
Oh, thank you, Roy. I while we were in Georgia, there was a lot of lightning activity. They had, they onboarded the White Oak pastures, and so the general store had a lightning checkout terminal, and people, it was cool. And I use Breeze for that almost, I think, exclusively. I love Breeze. It's one of those things where I don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. But Breeze is a great wallet. I mean, it is also the first app I always check.
Don't call it a wallet.
It is the first payment device app thingamabob jingamajog. Yes. It is the first key authenticator that I've enjoyed so much.
Yes, that's right. Key verification mechanism.
That's right. KVM.
Mere Mortals podcast gave us 4444 through Fountain.
Thank you.
And Kyron says, with the advertising model, it seems easy to lose focus on what's important. Where are my stats and money, man? Statistics for statistics' sake is just as stupid as money for money's sake, or my favorite, content for content's sake.
Boosh. Got it.
Hard to argue.
Thank you.
Anonymous donation of 22,222 sats through Castomatic. Thank you, Anonymous. No note.
Yeah, a little bit of a row of ducks there.
A 1505 sats from Polish Podcast Directory, podcasty.info. Through CurioCaster.
Podcasty.info?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you,
Podcasty with a K.
Podcasty with an I, K, and an I?
No, K and a see, podcasty.info.
Oh, Podcasty. That's hilarious. Yeah. Let me see. I mean, of all the names you get, what? Hey, what should we call it? Podcasty, of course. Oh, this is so cool. Podcasty.
Polish podcast.
Oh, man. Let's listen to a Podcasty.
Jest 3 września 2022 roku.
Yeah, rock and roll, baby.
Niezwykłym zjawiskiem.
Here's a wine podcast from Podcasty. Ooh, a PHP error was encountered. Ooh.
No, that's no good. That's no good. Oof.
That's probably because of the Polish language here.
It's probably because they're using PHP, which is not allowed per the rules of CSB in Poland.
Here's Zabawe Jedzniem.
Troszeczkę mąki kartoflanej.
Oh, monkeypox. I heard it.
Hep C
in there. Hep C ad.
Yeah. It's a bivalent.
Well, welcome Podcasty. I hope we're able to help you guys in any way.
Yeah. Well, and I hope we get all their shows. I mean, we need to slurp all those shows into the index.
Yeah. Point the Slurpee towards Poland.
Yeah. Podslurpee.info. okay. Oh, here's another one. Podcasty.info for CurioCaster. He says, I think you don't get my boost via CurioCaster. I'm back on Fountain. We got them both.
No,
buddy.
We got them both. No problem.
Boost. Yeah. Thank you very much. We're good to go. Pirate Hoddle, 3333. Through Fountain, he says, I like when Dave sings the banjo music from Deliverance. Ooh. Ouch. Cole McCormick.
Hold on.
Whoa.
That's from my time in Georgia, son. Oh, man, I love that song.
Was that... Deliverance.
I don't know.
I think that music was written originally by Earl Scruggs.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Let's see. Cole McCormick, 1234 through Fountain. He says, it's incredible how the first killer Bitcoin app is actually multiple apps that open a door to a new economy that can be sustained with consistency and authenticity. So hyped for podcasting. Rocket, 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 rocket.
To the moon.
Go podcasting.
Value
100.
Value for value dot info. Please take a look. Gigi and I have been working on it. There's also a Matrix chat, and there's a document that you can help. I gotta find out what that thing is called. It's some incredibly cool open source editor. And so you have the render, it's split screen, the render, it's web-based. Rendering on the right-hand side and the left-hand side is kind of like a markdown editor. So you can click in there and you can do, and then it changes on the, it's a, I got to find out the name of that. It's really, really cool. So yeah, and he's moving everything towards Matrix. So that's been my foray into Matrix. And so far, no one else has shown up, but Gigi and I, very, very few people. There's a couple, but there's very few. So join us in the, it's on valueforvalue.info on that,
XMPP, man. Everybody's doing XMPP.
I guess.
Gene Bean sent us 1,000 sats. He says, I love the idea of boosting the source of the clips used on the soundboard. Well, I do too, Gene Bean.
And I saw something. There was some LN project that did something kind of like that, but it can be done. I mean, it can be done today, any day.
If it can be done, it will be done.
Oh, yeah. Someone will do it.
Abel Kirby, 8888. No note. Thank you, Abel Kirby.
Thank you.
Boost.
George Orwell. 1111 and he said through Fountain, and he says, go podcasting.
You got it.
Go podcasting. I'm gonna read this. This is only 500 sats, but the name of the user is Pod Pimp, and he gave us 500 sats.
Sweet.
Yeah. He says, I like the OP3 idea. Curious if feasible in Germany. We absolutely.
Of course.
It's all localized.
Of course.
Yeah. Dave Popple sent us 500 sats. It's also a nice little name. He says, keep up the good work, lads.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Dave. Thank you, doing.
How you doing, Booster?
Auburn Citadel sent us 50,000 sats, which is a departure from the usual 49,000 that he sends. And he sent it through Fountain. And he says, Boostergram confetti. Thank you, Auburn Citadel. Anonymous through Podverse says, great work on valueforvalue.info.
Thank you.
Let's see, Captain Egghead, 1,545 sats. Through Podverse again, he says, just adding name to previous anonymous 5451 boosts, setting lost during app upgrade. Okay. I didn't see that one, but.
Setting lost. You know, and I just got to mention again, I'm finding that I have to reauthenticate the Albi wallet a lot. Everywhere, including Podverse, a lot. Sometimes between shows, or I come back to a show and it's gone.
Can we get some local storage on that or some cookies or
something? There's something going on with it. I mean, it's like I'll go to Podcast Index every single time I go to Podcast Index. After a while, then the Albi window pops up.
Yeah. Need to look at that.
And part of it is, it's good. Part of it is just not.
6969 sats from Hey Citizen through Podverse. And he says, donating sats to the Getting Dvorak on Board Fund. Love and lit.
Hold on a second. And what was it? Hey Citizen. And what was the other one? What did you say?
I deleted it.
What? I'm sorry.
What were you needing?
What, his note again?
Oh, he's donating $69.69 to the Get Dvorak on Board Fund.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Hey Citizen.
$69.69, dudes.
See the Love and Lit, 500 sats. That's anonymous. Oh, here we go. 5552 through Satoshi's.stream. And he just has a smiley face emoji. Thank you, Satoshi Stream.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate that.
They've upgraded, right? Satoshi Streams now has a new interface outside of Telegram.
Is it live yet? Because I don't think it is.
Okay. Well, we're ready. And you know what? We should get those guys on.
Yeah, if they will, you know, it's an anonymous collective.
Okay, no problem. The people over in Australia thought about this.
Hi, I'm from Satoshi Streams. We're an anonymous collective, but we really like value for value.
That's it. That's all it takes.
It's getting old. Yeah.
Dovidas. 20,011 sats. David Us is from RSS Blue. And he says, love Dragon Ball Z, so really enjoyed the episode with Kyle. Cool. Do I just include my name in the boost message? Yeah. Either way, go podcasting. David Us from RSS
Blue. Go podcasting! what was I going to say? Oh, was it Kyron who ended his Value for Value Series 2?
And with a million splits.
With 24 splits and they all worked. That's
nuts.
That's fantastic. I'm like, does it also work on the streaming SaaS? I mean, by the time you get done doing 24 payments, your next payment is almost due.
It's queued up. It's ready to go. Yeah. It's just, it's going to, that's what makes, Kyron, that's why your phone is hot in your pocket, is because of this.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely the reason why.
Brian of London in the Hive DAO.
Hey.
Won 104,269 sats.
Oh, I think we get a baller for that.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
He says, catch-up donation because last week I was in Amsterdam for Hive Fest, where everybody knows the name of Adam Curry.
Yeah. They, man, I've had so many people, including the organization, ask me to come speak at Bitcoin Amsterdam. What I'm missing is someone saying, here's a ticket.
That's a problem.
And this is what I realized with a lot of these, all conferences, of course, but the Bitcoin conference, and I think to a degree the podcasting conference, you know, these things should change a little bit, because what happens is you get so many people who are in the business one way or the other, consultants, etc., that it's their business. That they, you know, they are either have an expense account or they're there for their business. But then they ask all these speakers to come over for free and spend your own money. Like, I don't even know if this helps podcasting 2.0 anymore. I mean, it's like,
Well, I mean, when it was all said and done, it's about, what's it going to be for us? About $1,500, $2,000?
For what?
For both of us to go to Podcast Movement and spend the days there and everything. Well, just, I mean, gas money and everything.
I didn't calculate gas money, but it was like $2,000 for our hotels and our meals that we charged to the hotel, which was not much.
I mean, it was, you know, $150 of gas for me to get there and back.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know what I spent on that. There's other stuff.
It's not insignificant.
No, but even fly to Amsterdam, that's your ticket is $2,000.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, of course, I require business class.
It is required.
Two tickets, one for me, one for my lovely wife. And a car, I'd like $5,000 in a brown paper bag. 24-hour limo, and a security detail.
And all the green M&Ms removed.
You know it, brother.
2222 row of ducks through for Lyceum. He says, I will catch up with bigger Boostergram in the near future.
Right.
I'm thinking of Fountain's leaderboard. I'm thinking of Fountain's leaderboard, Intergalactic Boombox sticker, International Podcasting Day on September 30th, and your Certified Podcasting 2.0 t-shirt. Recently, I mentioned that new podcast apps and value for value during the VC Buzz Twitter chat. All the best, Martin Lindskog, Lyceum Parapatos on Twitter. Another one from Lyceum. He says, hi again, International Podcast Day is the right name of the event on September 30.
Okay.
Dave Lee, sorry for the misspelling. I wonder if I have the ducks in a row next Friday. Best premise, Mark Lindescott. And we got the Delimiter.
Comic strip blogger. Yes.
15,033 sats. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Firstly, with marijuana on top, please don't carry water for Vlad the Insaner, as he's unelected dictator for 22 years. Secondly, and lastly, y'all are invited to our pod about artificial intelligence magic called AI.cooking, narrated by Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent in UK. Just type in your web browser or podcatcher, AI.cooking. Yo.
Thank you, Comic Strip Blogger. And I love Comic Strip Blogger's weekly contribution for a number of reasons. One, we have the Delimiter. We know it's the end of the donation segment because he always posts when he thinks it is time. And he posts that he has posted. And he always posts if all the splits were successful. And so that way I know, all the nodes are working. I don't have to. And it's true. It's a great service. There's at least one morning a week I don't have to worry about the nodes running. Now,
and it's not actually him posting, though. It's AI at this point, right?
Comic Strip Blogger is AI. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I don't know if we carried water for Putin, but I'll certainly won't mention anything positive about Putin if you stop using the term pod.
Very good idea.
And a general observation from a native English speaker. It's just a general observation. You do as you do, boo. when you post feedback publicly to an app developer and you say, hey, what's going on with your Appy app? For some reason, I want to strangle you. And is it just me?
No, if you strangled CSB, I would help you.
Yes. But I mean, it's like it's always like, why isn't your Appy app in the App Store?
I think I understand what he. Let me interpret.
It's not his intent. I know it's never his intent to insult.
No. This is the absolute. I'm 100% sure that this is the reason he does that, is because he's trying to make it distinct from a web app. So he's saying this is your action. This is an Appy app, not a web
distinction.
App.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. But see, CSB died. He died like 6 years ago. This is all AI. So the AI is just doing the best it can.
Which down in Georgia, AI stands for something else. Artificial insemination is what it stands for down there. Just letting you know.
It's a beef thing.
It's a beef thing.
Beef.
Thank you, comics or blogger. Just constructive feedback. Just let you know sometimes they can come across as a little weird.
Yes. But native app. Say new native app.
Yeah, but now that I'm registered here at what was that? Podcasty.info. I'll learn more about your wonderful language.
You will. You're gonna run through that big playlist of Polish podcast apps.
How much is a zloty these days? I wonder if one sat equals one zloty. You know what a zloty is? Poland doesn't have the euro. They have the zloty still.
The zloty, that's like their version of the Dirty Jersey Whore, right?
Totally. Here, okay. The zloty. The official currency and legal tender of Poland. Let's see, what is the current exchange? I always liked the time. I always liked zloty, and I thought they were always super smart for not going with the euro.
Oh, they maintained their own currency.
Yeah,
they didn't get into the economic union.
No, well,
good for them.
Don't know. That would be the monetary union. They're probably in monetary the economic union. Yeah,
monetary. That's
the Polish
right.
Zloty. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we should do digital zlotys. It just sounds cool. Hey, man, how many zlotys you pay for that slave?
Is it a pretty coin or is it ugly? I mean,
I don't know. It's Polish. What does it look like? It's Polish. Looks Polish.
The South African Kruger is a beautiful coin.
The Krugerrand. Is it really a Kruger or Krugerrand?
Krugerrand.
Krugerrand. Krugerrand. Yes. Yeah. Yes. We all have a gold Krugerrand somewhere.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a beautiful coin. As is the Australian Kookaburra. That is also a very beautiful gold coin.
Yes.
I used to have a couple of those.
Yeah.
Monthly donors.
Before you do that, I have a couple lives that came in. 5,000 from Eastside Tony. Thank you guys for all the hard work. Y'all inspired me to start the Defend the Network podcast. Very nice. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
And Dreb Scott comes in with so many ones. I'm just going to call it a forest of bamboo. 111-111-61. So 111,111 sats. Live boost. Boot. And he wants a boot.
Boot!
You got it.
Dreb, I hope you're feeling better, brother. I hate that you were down under the weather this week, the last week.
Yeah.
We got some monthlies. Get David Woodfine, $3. Dwayne Goldie, $8. Paul Erskine, $11.14. Charles Current, $5. Michael Goggin, $5. Clone Glatzbach, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. James Sullivan, $10. Sean McCune, $20. Jordan Dunville, $10. And Pod News, ye old James Cridlin, $50. Ooh, thank you.
Thank you, James. Very nice. And I'll add Chad F. with $33,333. Attended my first Bitcoin meetup last night. Good times were had, and I'm trying to spread the word of podcasting 2.0. Also, the host was at Bitblock Boom and said he really enjoyed Adam's value for value speech. Score again. Score. Big score.
Can I just say that, John, the Dvorak's understanding of Southern accents is
it's very
in need of...
It's going to get him beat up someday is what's going to happen.
It's sus. It's totally sus. By the way,
boost.
That accent of the guy who's the director of the place you were at down in Georgia?
Will Harris?
Yeah, that accent, that's not a Georgia accent. That's incorrect. That's just an old South accent. That if you transport yourself back to 1840, you're going to hear that all over. You're going to hear that from South Carolina to Mississippi, everywhere. That's not a Georgia
thing. Well, he was born, he's fourth generation on that ranch.
Yeah, so. That's old South.
Yes.
And you usually hear that either in old Southern families who have money or have been in politics.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. So that's, yes, I can see that. He's very polite.
Very, very polite. If you want to hear, John Denson has very similar. He's a longtime Alabama lawyer in Montgomery, which is the capital city.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually where you hear that, is by storied, historied families of the South.
I love when he attended the whole conference as well, and someone said, "Okay, I'm going to have dinner," and then he piped up and said, "Just so you know, down here we call it supper."
That's right.
Oops, yeah. Message received. We call it supper. All right.
I got a bunch more stuff, but we need to punt. I gotta head back to work.
Oh, that's right. The summer tropical schedule is over. It's no more.
Yes, it is. That's right.
All right. Beautiful.
Next week, we'll talk about phase six next week, because we need to discuss that.
Oh, hot namespace talk next week. Let's do a little promo, everybody. Ooh, next week.
And now it's time for some hot namespace
talk. Next week. Join us for that.
That's also appropriate, because I had a phone call with Dame Jennifer this week, and we did a little hackathon talk. Ooh, so we'll talk about that next week.
It was
too.
Also on my list. Well, next week is going to be the board meeting of all board meetings. I hope everyone has enjoyed. Dave, have a great weekend, brother.
You too, bro.
And everybody in the chat, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being with us for the Lit Show. And we return next week for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Don't be afraid of the stats. It's just us. See you then, everybody. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.